to be a, but really what I want to be talking about is twisted supergravity, and possibly also string theory. I don't really know much about this. I'm hoping to learn. And it's quantization. So everybody knows since Edward introduced this idea some time ago that it's also often a very useful thing to consider topological twists of supersymmetric gauge theories. So what I want to describe is a process. It's kind of similar in spirit for supergravity, which selects a piece of the supergravity theory, which is much simpler and which one can try to understand more exactly. And the connection between what I'm going to describe and the more familiar procedure is that at least conjecturally, this twisted supergravity is the ADS jewel of the twisting procedure on supersymmetric gauge theories. So, and finally, my real kind of thing I've been excited about recently is something really fun, which is that I'll write down twisted supergravity, and it's some ten-dimensional non-normalizable theory. But we'll find that there's some very strong constraints that even though there's potentially infinitely many counterterms, they're all fixed uniquely. So we get a unique perturbative quantization of this theory. Okay, so what is twisted supergravity? So recall that supergravity has, of course, local supersymmetry. So if we try to consider trying to quantize supergravity, well, the symmetries which we gauge, so we gauge diffeomorphisms and also kind of odd, like local supersymmetries. So there'll be bosonic ghosts. Ordinary symmetries will give rise to fermionic ghosts, but the fermionic symmetries will give rise to bosonic ghosts, which correspond to. So, what I mean by twisting. Twisted supergravity is, for me, simply supergravity in a background. In a background with a non-zero. With a non-zero bosonic ghost. So what does this mean? Let's get my notes back up. So, let's consider, as an example, for example, 2D type 2B supergravity. It doesn't really matter. On R10. One can ask, what are the equations of motion if we include these bosonic fields, these bosonic ghosts? Well, we find three equations. It's at the ordinary bosonic fields. for example, the metric and the Ramanujan fields satisfy the usual equations of motion. The ghost, the bosonic ghost Q, well, of course, this must be a symmetry, so it must be a generalized Killing spinner for whatever the ordinary fields, whatever the value of the ordinary fields are. That is, this symmetry preserves the ordinary bosonic fields. And if you think about it, if you're like me, kind of into homological algebra and the BV formalism, you'll see, well, one of the equations will be that Q squared equals zero. Okay. So one can try to imagine one has the following picture then of what do the equations of motion of supergravity look like? Of supergravity. There's some kind of large space which are like generic solutions. Inside there's some submanifold of BPS solutions. And on this submanifold, another manifold branches off, where we have BPS solutions plus a bosonic ghost. And of course, the analogy I want to think about is that is with the Higgs and the Coulomb branch in gauge theory. So on the Higgs branch, we just think, for example, classical vacuum is some constant solution of the equations of motion. On the Higgs branch, we might have just kind of general values of the Higgs field. And here we have some values with extra symmetry. And then the same thing happens. When we have extra symmetry, the Coulomb branch branches off. Okay, so as always happens whenever I try to talk to physicists, I worry that I'm not doing a very good job because of the language differences. So are there any questions? Yes. Oh, in the supersymmetry algebra. This is an issue where the notation, the supersymmetry algebra is some super Lie algebra. Its bracket with itself will be some isometry, and that isometry is the identity, or zero. So does that mean Q gamma Q? I suppose it. Yes, I mean it's an element of the local supersymmetry algebra. Yes. So
Q is not the BRST operator of the theory?
No.
Q is one of the supersymmetries?
Yes, indeed.
What is that?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's one of the local supersymmetries of the theory, of the supergravity theory. We view it as a bosonic ghost.
The ghost is bosonic, I understand. But what is it that you're calling Q?
Oh, yeah, when I tried to give this talk with Nadi Cyberg in the room, he made exactly the same objections. So
it's not an objection.
The same question, like notational confusion. The bosonic ghost fields are the same thing as kind of generators of local supersymmetry. Uh, I kind of spinners. And I'm just going to identify them. And here the equation q squared equals 0 makes sense.
So q is the expectation value of the bosonic S field?
Yes.
Q squared is 0 in the least super algebra.
Exactly, in the least super algebra, yes. And if you like, this term arises because there's an antifield to Q and there's going to be a term. The action includes a term, which is like the integral of QQ, Q star, where that's the antifield. So variation of the antifield imposes this equation. Okay, so why is this thing, okay, this seems like a kind of wacky thing to do. Why might it not be so crazy? As an example of what's going on, let's consider this. It doesn't really matter, this is a general phenomenon, but consider a field theory that can be coupled to the supergravity theory. To supergravity, if we consider the field theory in a background theory, in a supergravity background with the bosonic ghost, what this does, this has the same effect of like adding the supersymmetry Q. To the BRST operator of the field theory.
I feel you're calling too many things Q. Q was the ghost.
Q was the ghost. Would you?
It's also going to be the supercharge. I think what you're trying to say is that the BRST operator has a term, which is the ghost times the supercharge. And then you shift the expectation value of the ghost. So a linear combination of Q is added to the BRST operator. But we don't want to call them both Q.
Right. I mean, I always want to make this identification, but it seems like this identification makes you uncomfortable between the ghosts and the supercharge.
Well, it's worse than making me uncomfortable. The BRST operator has a term, which is one of the Qs times the other Q. So we don't want to call them both Q.
Oh, yeah. I think it's some... Okay. It's only because the terminology.
Call it one of the little Q or something.
What should I call this one? G. No, there's a three-form called G.
Q tilde.
Well, I would suggest little Q.
Little Q. Oh, I didn't hear you. Yes, okay. Little Q. Good. Okay.
And then what I would say is that the big BRST operator, which I'll call Q sub B, so a synonym of three things called Q.
Yes.
Has a term. It's got all kinds of terms.
Yes.
But basically it has terms which are superchargers times ghosts.
Yes.
So among all those, this term which is little q times something which you might as well call big q.
Exactly. Yes, okay.
So q sub b is little q times big q plus more so.
As it is. This has a term which is like little q times big q plus. So indeed, so if we
shift little q,
then we induce. So the, but adding the supercharge to the BRST operator, this is part of the procedure you call twisting back in the 80s. Would you agree? So,
this is a nice interpretation of it in supergravity.
Thank you. Okay. So this is twisting of a field theory. Oh, you might ask, the other part of what Edward called a twisting of a field theory was to change the action of the Lorentz group by using the embedding of the Lorentz group, a map from the Lorentz group to the orthosymmetry group. And that can be achieved. Pardon?
Edward mentioned nice interpretations of that.
Oh.
Twisting is traditionally carried out for globally supersymmetric theories. I've never, prior to this lecture, actually, heard a sensible explanation of what twisting would mean in supergravity.
And I was going to say, the other part of twisting, would it, you just introduce a kind of non-trivial connection for the Auer symmetry group, which is related to the Levi-Civita connection. And that will have the effect of changing the Lorentz action of the Lorentz group. Okay, so I want to describe kind of conjectural description of type 2b supergravity. Actually, I should describe by what little q I'm choosing. So let's consider again type 2b on OR10 with the metric is just the usual flat metric and the outer field 0. So if one does this, the supersymmetries which preserve this background, there are 32 supersymmetries which preserve this, just the constant spinners, and of which two are SU5 invariant. But these are rotated between each other by the Auer symmetry, which is, in this case, once we complexify SL2C, rotates these. So we find that, you know, up to Auer symmetry, there is a unique non-zero SU5 invariant Q up to Auer symmetry rotation. Can people read my writing, by the way? Is it? Yeah. Okay. Pardon? Yes. Oh, but then this confusion arises again. But it's a super. Okay, so let's put, if we put 2b in a background where the ghost, the bosonic ghost is Q, is this Q? Q. No, the ghost is in the Lie algebra. It depends. I think there's some. I always find in the physics literature, at least maybe it's my misinterpretation, what is a field and what is a linear function of the field can be a bit unclear.
Yeah.
So I would always think of the ghost as being in the Lie algebra, not the dual.
So what we call the ghost is a linear function of the field.
Possibly. I mean, yeah, it's yeah, that makes sense.
What do you mean? Well, I'm just trying to understand the fact that QB is a sum of terms which are ghosts signed as Lie algebra generators. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I think this is
right.
The origin of the little q, big Q. Okay, so if we put 2B in this background, then the conjecture. That this twist of type 2b is, well, it's something called BCOV theory, but I'll tell you what that is. The real meaning of it is it's the string field theory, the closed string field theory for the topological B model. Okay, so similarly, one can ask a slightly more nebulous conjecture. So this, I mean, these, you know, the natural guess, we can do the same thing for string theory. What does this mean? Well, I think this appeared in your talk, Edward, that, I mean, how does space-time supersymmetry arise in string theory? It arises by a particular field, a particular state, right? A particular operator of the strings. And if we kind of work in a background where that's around that background, I mean, the bosonic ghosts should be inside the states of string theory. So we can do the same kind of thing. Then the twist of type 2B is just the topological B string. OK, this conjecture is more nebulous because the Orr symmetry group is SL2Z, not SL2C. So there's no longer a unique supercharge. So I don't know what to do. Maybe.
I'm also confused. Isn't BCRV theory the closed ring topological B ring?
Yes.
So what is the difference between the two conjectures? Oh, sorry. I realize one refers to string theory and one's a field theory.
Yes.
But well, yes. The right-hand side appears to be the same, except you say them differently.
The right-hand side is... Yes, but the difference is that one can try to prove this one at the level of the world sheet, for example. Yes.
Okay.
Whereas this is a statement just about the string field theory, which one can try to prove by thinking about the fields of supergravity in their Q-cohomology. And there's other minor differences. Maybe part of it is right. If you look at the, it's saying that the other pieces of string theory which don't match supergravity will all go away. If this is true, I mean, this conjecture is stronger than this one. Yes?
So, gravity has a lot of physical modes, right? All gravitons propagating out.
Yes.
When you turn on these super ghosts, do they become physical and not torn away?
Yes. Most of them. Yes. What happens?
Expanded on the new background, the BRST cohomology is much lower. Is what you're saying.
Exactly. So, and it's just like you take a connection, which is some sort of generic connection. If you expand around that, most of the things become gauged away.
The way it is planned, so only fluctuations which preserve the BPS solution.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Where's the eraser? Yes. Oh, but they're all. I'm too short to see any of them. Yes.
I had an amazing double finding one this morning.
Yes. What's that? Pardon? I've used a whole. Oh, yeah, but that one doesn't move, though. So you would lose it immediately. Okay, so let's discuss some evidence for this conjecture. For this particular conjecture about what twist of type 2B supergravity might look like, let's consider. Well, we know that like if we take a D brain on R4 inside of R10, this leads to n equals 4 Yang Mills on the D brain. So well, what you can check is that n equals 4 has a twist, which can be described by holomorphic Chern-Simons and a certain super Calabi-Yau being C2/3. See, this is very much in the vein of what Edward showed some 10 years ago in twister string theory. And this is equal to the theory living on a brain, brain on C2 inside of C5 in the topological B model. So, well, you know, you can just check exactly one piece of string theory just matches. And how does this work? Well, for example, if you have this brain in C2 inside C5, there's three holomorphic functions describing the motion in the normal direction. If you look at the level of equations of motion, these three holomorphic functions correspond to the three n equals one chiral multiplets in the n equals four theory. And the statement they're holomorphic is that's sort of BPS solutions. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah. So in a similar vein, there's this great paper of Beaulieu. In fact, his result implies this one. You consider the D9 brain gauge theory. He didn't say it in exactly this language, but his result is equivalent. Which is holomorphic Chern-Simons on just C5. So the gauge theory on a space-filling brain in the B model. Okay, so at the level of brains, in fact, Beaulieu's argument by reducing it to various dimensions is pretty convincing, I think, that things match up well at the level of brains. Oh. So let me describe a little bit what the fields of BCOV theory are and how we expect them to match with those of type 2B supergravity. Unless there are there any questions?
What is the second conjecture for the string theory? So, as you said, the parasymmetry is not continuous anymore.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I mean, in that case, there's more than one supercharge, and maybe if you impose suitable reality conditions, I don't know how to describe it in a good way. Maybe you do. I'm really hoping that one can just think about twister string theory and how the space-time supersymmetry appears, and you'll find the topological B model. That's my dream, but I don't understand it. So that's why I'm looking forward to your talk. But let's start here on twister string theory, pure spinner approach. The fields of BCOV theory, say on X, which is a Clavier fivefold, although the dimension doesn't really matter, are, well, we take, well, firstly, well, it's going to take a little description. First, we take the direct sum of zero I forms with values in the jth exterior power of the tangent bundle. I might use the notation PV J comma I of X for this because it polyvector fields. Well, if you notice that the holomorphic volume form gives an isomorphism from PV I J I to omega 5 minus j I, just by contracting. In this way, we have operators del and del bar on the direct sum of these spaces of polyvector fields, J comma I. So the fields, I'm going to present the theory in a way which I don't actually like, but I think it might be more palatable to physicists. The fields are the kernel of this operator del inside of the direct sum of PVJI. And they're bosonic. Well, one wonders this twisting procedure, Gauss number, and whether fields are bosonic or fermionic kind of gets mixed up, or whether fields are spinners or not spinners, that all gets mixed up a bit. So let's just say whether they're bosonic or fermionic. And the parity is just I plus J mod 2. And the action is the integral. If I take my field, say alpha, del bar, del inverse alpha, plus integral alpha, wedge alpha, where well, this is an exterior algebra, so I can wedge things. So that's what wedging means. The integral map picks out just the top part, PV 5, 5 of x, which is omega 0, 5, x wedge 5 tx. Well, because x is Clausius, this bundle is trivial, so this is isomorphic to omega 0, 5, x wedge 5 t star of x, which is also trivial. And then we can integrate. You picked a Clavier form, yes, exactly. Well, locally, everything in the kernel of delta is exact. This is why I don't like it, because they have this non-local term. I mean, my preference is something more fancy where you don't have this non-local term, but it's in the BV formalism, and you have a Poisson tensor instead of a symplectic form. But I don't want to get there. OK, so what do we expect? For example, we can look at these things like 4, 0, 3, 1, PV 2, 2, PV 1, 3, PV 0, 4. Let's try and match these up with the fields of supergravity. This should become part of the phi form. Well, this becomes a 1 form. This is a 3 form or 7 form. This is also a 3 form. This is also a 1 form. So I expect, roughly speaking, that these particular polyvector fields are the image in the twisted theory of the Ramon-Ramon five, the Ramon-Ramon fields. Yes. Well, if you notice that this is becomes a 3-2 form, which is self-dual. So we're only picking out some subsector of the forms. Right? Is that what you're asking? Yes.
Yeah, should take forms.
Oh, yeah, but there are only some components of them. And I'm actually a bit confused about how exactly...
There are pieces of every form.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The way it works is, this couples to the D3 brain. This couples to the D7 brain, and this couples to the D1 brain, for example, and so on. And there's other fields. For example, if I take this guy here, this is a deformation of complex structure. So it's part of the metric. And one can do further matching between the fields. I certainly don't have a proof. I would love to have somebody to prove the statement that this theory is the twist of supergravity. We could even try to do it at the linearized level. One writes down the fields of supergravity, writes down this supercharge, and takes the cohomology, and you should find a match. But that, I found that really hard. Okay, 15 minutes, or?
425.
425, so when you start, okay. Well, I don't want to.
425.
20 minutes, let's do 20. I don't want to, yeah, let's go. Okay, so in this picture, I mean, what got me excited about this picture was, at first was, well, I wanted to prove a twisted version of the ADS-CFT correspondence. So this, I'm working on that. I have some kind of some approach to that. But what I want to talk about today is quantization of VCFT theory. So I want to explain a way to quantize with the following theorem, joined with and C. Lee, there exists a unique quantization of coupled VCOV. Also, this is the closed string sector, and holomorphic Chern-Simons, and this is going to be the open string sector, the open string field theory. Just say on C5 for now, where we use the supergroup GL n/n on the open string sector.
If you drop the statement of uniqueness, does it follow that there is a quantization without the open strings?
Yes. Just the familiar kind of string theory argument that closed strings can exist on their own. Yeah. So then it follows there exists a natural quantization of the closed string sector. So I want to try to explain the proof of this, because I have this fantasy that the argument can be generalized beyond topological theories. This might be totally false, but there's something I think it's worth explaining. So how does this work? So first I need to explain a slight modification of VCOV theory where we introduce descendants. VCOV theory with descendants, and this is what you would really find if you started from the topological B model. It's fields. Polyvector fields on X, but an infinite number of copies of them. So in other words, it's the space of polyvector fields that we discussed earlier, adjoin a formal variable t, where the differential, the BRST operator, linearized BRST operator, is d bar plus t del. And notice that this is the same as just the forms on x, t, up to some shifting with differential plus t del. Yes, absolutely. They arrive because, you know, how do we construct the field? We take the Hilbert space of a circle of the field theory, and then we do some kind of equivariant cohomology. That t is a parameter of equivariant cohomology, which is the descendants.
So again,
how would you construct the the gravity theory associated to a topological model. You take the Hilbert space assigned to a circle of the topological model, but it's not. We want to take equivariant cohomology because it's. I think this is the one that's you should literally find this in the string theory.
Okay.
And these descendants are not a big deal. They don't propagate. I wanted to. They're useful to include because they do match some operators in the. For example, these descendant fields are they match operators in the gauge theory under the ADCFT correspondence, but they don't propagate.
I'm saying the gravitational descendants of topological string theory, aren't they?
I think they are, and that they become integrals of psi classes in the moduli space.
Okay. So not propagating means what?
It means
that these classes turn out to be zero effectively in this situation?
Well, it means that the propagator only if we write it in this form, it's an unusual field theory in that it's in the BV formalism with a Poisson tensor instead of a symplectic tensor. And that the BV kernel is right at pi is del tensor 1 times delta of the diagonal in the t to the 0 tensor t to the 0 part. So these are the BV kernel and hence the propagator which you built from it doesn't see the powers of t at all. For example, the propagator is del tensor 1, then I take delta bar inverse tensor 1, delta function of the diagonal, and again in the t to the 0 powers. Which is... Well, yeah, I mean, but... They're kind of useful for the argument I want to make, and they really do correspond to some funny operators in the gauge theory, but kind of funny ones where you take operators built from a bunch of copies of the ghost, for example. Okay, so with the following important point. Is that these fields the fields with descendants of BCOV are equivalent to the single trace local deformations of the holomorphic Chern-Simons action on C5. Well, this, I look at first order deformations, this has with its BRST operator. An equivalent means there's a quasi isomorphism of cochain complexes. So, this is the kind of thing one sees in ADS-CFT, except it's a very funny example. But this will be useful. This is what will allow us to show that even though the theory is non-normalizable, there is a cancellation which makes everything unique. Okay. So to quantize the couple theory, how does it go? So first, we can make n large. Recall we were using a GLN/N-gauge theory. Well, all this does, really, is that this means we can write our Feynman diagrams as Rubin graphs. All right. And secondly, so we think of trying to build it, you know, one Riemann surface at it, one genus at a time. We try to build a theory for surfaces of genus G, H boundaries and n marked points, well, if we try to do this, there's some cohomology group which tells us a cohomology group, I'll call this OGHN, which describes the possible Lagrangians. We can add and anomalies. In other words, it describes if there's any ambiguity to quantization, if there's some Lagrangian we can add to the theory, or if there's some possible anomaly. So the amazing thing is, the claim which makes it all work, if you consider the direct sum of these guys, G, H, N, where H plus N is fixed, this guy has no cohomology. More precisely, I'll explain more precisely what I mean. So
the marked points are in the interior?
The marked points in the interior, yes, I beg your pardon. There can be some arbitrary number on the boundary, but we're not. That can be arbitrary. So, sorry, any other questions?
Also, when you take the struct on, you keep G fixed?
We keep G fixed, yes. So, how does it work? So let's consider OG0N, some surface with some mark points, OG1N, a surface, this has some marked points, and a boundary, and so on. So here, acting on this complex is the closed ring BRST, kind of linearized, because we're fixing it. Here, there's a mixture, which is like open an open term and closed. And there's also a connecting map. Where does this connecting map come from? It comes from the BV anti-bracket with the disk with a marked point in the middle. So if we should think of this BV anti-bracket on the closed string sector as gluing this marked point to one of these marked points to turn this guy into a hole. And if we take this total complex, it goes on. Same as if the total complex is no cohomology. So there's an exception when g equals 0 and h plus n equals 2, but that exception is treated differently, and it's not a big deal.
So the cohomology means that every concept term can be eliminated by some anomalous transformation?
Some change of coordinates in the space of fields, but limited every counter term. And every possible anomaly can be eliminated by adding on a new counter term to kill it in a unique way. So let's discuss this in the in. Let's consider the case H plus N is equal to 1 and say some G is positive. It doesn't matter what G is. So 1, 0, 1, these are linear functionals of the closed string fields. So the closed string fields are still on the blackboard. So, well, the Durham complex, a linear functional on the Durham complex is an element of the Durham complex. But this power of t, well, we can turn it into like a distribution, if you like, the origin. So I can write it like this. T inverse, where the differential is now d plus t del. Well, we have the convention that t del acts by zero on the t to the zero power. And now let's consider this one. Whatever, sorry, let's call that G. OG 1, 0. Well, this is the single trace functionals of the open string fields. So we already saw what that is. This is the closed string fields. Which is and what's the connecting map? The connecting map is this BRST bracket with BV bracket with this guy. It's going to give something which goes from here. T inverse to star x t. And what you find is it's precisely a missing term in a natural differential, which takes the power of zero, applies the operator del, and takes it into here. There's a math literature about this which uses words like cyclic cohomology and negative cyclic cohomology, which I think Matilda will know, but probably not so many other people. So the connecting map, so that the total complex is just the whole this x t with differential d bar plus t del. But this is just a bunch of copies of the Durham complex. So it looks like we have tk omega star del tk plus 1. Star, and so on up to tk plus 3, so plus 5. So it's a direct sum of k in the integers of a copy of the Durham complex of x. Well, so the cohomology, I said it was 0, but it's not quite 0. And I'll is just say the cohomology of x join t. And say if x is c5, it's just c join t. Okay. Well, that's not quite zero, but what we're saying is there's all these possible complicated possible Lagrangians, but every one is equivalent to something which just comes from the class 1 in the Durham cohomology of C. But these are very simple things. And you find that these Lagrangians cannot contribute. They don't scale correctly. Don't scale correctly to contribute. Okay. And then this argument proceeds in a similar way. There's this cancellation. And one has to do the case of the annulus by hand. There's some one-loop anomaly cancellation, which people tell me is similar to the Green-Schwarz mechanism. And that's how you prove the theorem. Okay. I'll stop there.
Intuitively, I'm perplexed about something.
Uh-huh.
I gather that one ingredient of the GLN slash N for this purpose is essentially independent of N.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And in particular, it's somewhat similar to GL0 slash 0.
Exactly.
So how can it cancel a problem with the closed strings?
Well, it's not quite similar to GL0 slash 0. What GLN slash N does is, If we take a, you know, a GLN n plus k and consider a Feynman diagram, the weight of the Feynman diagram will depend on k, but not on n. However, it'll depend on the difference because it'll involve some traces. But however, if we look at the operators of the open string theory, that depends on n because there are trace relations which disappear if n goes to infinities. Yes. So taking n to infinity, all it does is get rid of all the trace relations, yes, so that the operators just become cyclic words. Okay. And that's why these cyclic words, by this theorem of Oschel-Kuss and Rosenberg, are the fields of the closed string sector. That's, does that answer your question at all?
Well, I'm sure it will after I spend a little time with your paper. But can you convey a little bit more why you think this is a prototype for ADS-CFT?
Well, I suppose I haven't discussed it in particular, but what you can consider a similar story, and you could try to couple a theory living on C2 to this BCOV theory. And I haven't checked all the details, but I believe that the couple theory exists uniquely by a similar argument. And further, that you can decouple the theory living on C2, which you can't here because of an anomaly. And once one does this, so I'm just going to write down a cryptic picture. It's coffee time, so here's my cryptic picture. If this is ending on the brain, diagrams like this give us a map from the closed string fields to the quantum operators. So the existence of the open closed theory at the quantum level allows us to relate the fields of the closed string theory to the operators in the open string theory. And the master equation satisfied by this tells us that's a co-chain map. Satisfies the structure.
One might hope that these constraints you're discussing in the topological cavity are some BTS counter terms in the two super cavity.
Hopefully, Yeah, maybe one can really compute some things, some exact quantities in tree supergravity. I don't know anything about tree supergravity.
Let's reconvene at 4:45 to the 4:00 session again.